Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy today on February 9th of 2022. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
We're here to talk about Toonami and some other stuff. So we're recording a little earlier than usual, so we won't have our usual discussion of the Amazing Race episode that we have at the end. So we've gotten that. I might finally be able to start talking about the thing I mentioned about, I've been constantly saying, well, we'll get to it next week, maybe, about me watching some stuff. Depending on how long some of this stuff takes, we are in slight bit of a time crunch, but we'll see that at the end. And because of that, let's get right into it.
Okay.
But before we do that, we want to mention that they have announced that, yes, Attack on Titan is coming back to Toonami.
I called it, didn't I?
Yep. So we'll be seeing that. We don't know if there will be anything else coming. They definitely still have a slot open because they're airing two episodes of One Piece. Maybe we'll get Yashahime.
Mm-hmm.
So when they start airing that again, we'll cover it. And then we can see if the ending, when the anime gets to it, is any less controversial than it was in the manga.
Mm-hmm.
The ending, it's weird. So they had, like, so the manga had its final chapter, and it was a little controversial, but, you know, on the whole thing, people seemed, you know, well, this has problems, but it's okay. And then there were some extra pages released, like, to the end of the chapter. I can't remember if it was sort of volume release or not. And then that like, made a lot of people really start disliking it.
Mm-hmm.
Those extra things. But I guess we can maybe talk about that whenever we actually get to that.
Yeah.
All right. So, we've got Blade Runner Black Lotus Episode 13. Final episode. So, Elle spends about half of the episode fighting that blonde replicant. And I can't remember who she is or anything at all. I think she
why
was
she's fighting. You can't remember why she's even fighting.
She's fighting her because she's trying to get to the, I can't remember his name, but the guy who's kind of behind everything. And the blonde girl is like serving him. So she's fighting her to get to him. But that's, but yeah, I can't even remember, like, much else about her. I think she's just serves him. So, they spend a lot of time fighting. She ends up winning. Pokes the guy's, eyes to blind him. Then, Jay decides to make the big sacrifice, which, to blow up all the... I can't quite remember what it was. I think there were other replicants being made or something, or I can't remember. You know, while he's behind the closed door, which was weird because he sets it off with a detonator. So why can't he do that from outside? And even if we assume, okay, it has to be done inside the room, which strikes one as weird because why would you require a self-destruction thing to be within the place to be self-destructed?
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's the case, he could, you know... It's possible to, like, to rig something so that it will, like, in a short time, press the button and leave it there and get out. Or if that's absolutely not possible, you could press it, run out, and close the door, and maybe you'd survive or maybe you wouldn't, but you'd have a better chance of just being there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we get that L just... we find out that the guy Al blinded, who was, again, I think the head bad guy, I guess he's alive and he's still running the company. He's just blind now. So I guess that's supposed to be there in case they get a sequel or something. Anyway, then Al ends up going off somewhere. And that is the end of the series.
Yeah. Not really much to say.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I suppose as endings go, it's okay. Oh, yeah, and the police officer person got her job back. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like her biggest contribution to the her main contribution to the show was basically during the recap episode where she said everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't a great show. I don't know what I think about it compared to Fena. That was for the most part like a lot of that was better, but this its ending was so insane that I don't know how it compares to this, but. Yeah, it was there. All right, so we've gotten that done. Now we also come to the new show that I probably should have mentioned, at the start. But we've got Shenmue, the animation episode 1. So, the main character, who is super crazy skilled in martial arts, at least against other high schoolers or and such. That's what he's seen, yeah. His father gets killed by some guys who come in and just kill him and say, oh, he killed one of ours. So our main character, whose name I can't remember, let me just check it. Ryo. That's it, Ryo. Ryo's like, oh man, what am I supposed to do? Because he wants to search about it. But then it's like, eh, well, I guess we gotta leave it to the police. Then another guy attacks him who wants a mirror of some kind. He manages to beat him. And then his mother is like, well, you know, since you're determined to look for it, here's a letter that has information and such. And so he gets that and I don't think we see what's in it yet, but also apparently the bad guys are the Chinese mafia. We got that. So yeah, that's the first episode.
What did you think of this?
Well, it had a better start than Blade Runner Black Lotus. definitely. I don't really know much about the game it's based on. I thought it was, on the whole, in a lot of ways, rather cliche. We have the fairly strong guy, and then we have the parental figure get killed, and then he has to go and try to get revenge and all that stuff. I don't think it was necessarily done badly, exactly. I didn't really check to see what other people thought of it. Maybe people more familiar with the game, but so far, it wasn't a great first episode, but at least it kept my interest enough that I at least want to see another episode of it to like judge it a bit better.
Uh-huh.
How about you?
I thought it was just too many cliches. Like, you had the classic scene of bullies beating up on someone, so then they get revenge on the bullies, and yeah, it felt like I'd seen this 10 times before, even though I've never seen it. It felt like, you know, I've already seen it. So, I'm not giving up on it. I just think it could be better.
Yeah, that whole bully confrontation scene. That was something I should have mentioned.
Mm.
Although, to be fair, in regards to it being a bit cliche, I have no idea how closely this is based on the game, but the game this was based on, if it's closely based on it, that came out in 1999, so that kind of gets the thing you sometimes get where something's older and maybe it was more new for its time, but nowadays is just kind of considered cliche.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, I mean, JoJo was old and I don't know. I always thought that it was for the most part, didn't think it was too cliche, but maybe yeah. It's just because it leaned on the bizarre thing and no one could. I think it's more the fact that so much of JoJo you just can't imitate. You can, like, maybe do, oh, like, the high schoolers are super buff in the stuff, but, like, the core of it is, like, almost unimitable.
Mm-hmm.
For better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got that. Then we've got Assassination Classroom episode 29. So, the kids get encountered by a guy who calls himself the Reaper, who claims to have captured Irina, you know, their teacher, and holding her hostage unless they, you know, go to him and do stuff, which I guess they do, but then they're like, no, he's like, ha, it's a trap. And they're like, well, we knew it was a trap. And he's like, well, I knew you knew it was a trap. And oh, by the way, she's actually wasn't captured. She's on my side now. Yay. But and so then they manage to get captured, like, for real. Yeah. And Koro-sensei and Karasuma are like, well, we'd better go try to, you know, save the kids.
Yeah, so on one hand, it is stupid because they should be really concerned about the fate of the world rather than whether their teacher got... and that's why I've had trouble with Assassination Classroom from the beginning, because it has that as its premise and it never really lives up to it. But I will say this about this episode. It was probably the most entertaining thing so far this season. And it at least has me interested in what's going to happen next. Even though I'm pretty sure what's going to happen, but I thought this was actually a pretty positive move for the series.
What do you think is going to happen next?
Well, you know, Koro-sensei saves them, and Irina isn't really on the bad guy's side, and they did the, you know, and it'll be some convoluted reason why this happened, and the bad guy will get, you know, that's what I figure is going to happen. But
okay,
yeah,
I can't really say much because I'll be honest, when I read this in the manga, it was years ago, and I can, like, barely remember anything. So I can't even tell you if you're right or wrong.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. So we've gotten that. Yeah, I kind of agree with your points. The question of the whole saving the world, it's never really bothered me that much. But, yeah, that is a legitimate point. So, Made in Abyss Episode 4. So after they've decided that we're going to be starting the plot off and be going into the abyss, this episode we find out, well, hang on just a moment, because while they're on their way descending, which is very convenient, I guess, with those go-go gadget arms that the guy has, her uncle shows up because he wanted to show up to help them, and they kind of talk for... bit and stuff. He does give them some sort of protection against I don't know, plague or whatever it's in the next layer or whatever. We'll see what goes on there, but yeah, otherwise mostly this is just them starting to begin the journey.
Yeah, beginning to begin the journey.
No, that was last episode. You're putting one too many begins there. You got to drop one.
Yeah, this is just taking too long, isn't it? I mean, I guess. Okay, let's just assume we don't know that people say that this series turns dark. So let's just pretend we don't know that. Even then, it just feels like we're taking way too long for something to actually happen. Like, that's what's good about even the most cliche shows, that at least you get, like, some big thing happen in episode one that gives direction to the whole series. And, you know, like JoJo's a perfect example of that. It always comes through in the first episode. And on this one, well, we're a few episodes in and we're still kind of like, okay, what is this all about, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Whatever even if a Shenmue was cliche, stuff happened.
Yeah.
We got to start up a point. We had like the big catalyst happen, whereas the catalyst for this series happened in that series it happened midway through the first episode. In this one it happened at the end of the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
When she got the note, or you can even say it happened in the third episode, because that was when they actually looked in the stuff. So right. Yeah, that's a definite issue. So I guess we'll see where it goes. Cause everyone just seems to say this is a great show. I've seen so much positive for it. So I can hope it gets better. Although we are four episodes into a 13 episode series, although there is another season coming. So we'll see. But yeah, I guess we'll just see what goes on with there. But it seems like so many series just have trouble coming up with that we've been watching, have trouble coming up with a good start.
Yeah.
So there's that. Well, then that brings us to a series that most decidedly is well past the start. One Piece episodes 521 and 522. So, what happens is the fake Straw Hats end up getting cornered by the Navy, or the Marines, or they say Navy, it says Marines. I don't even know what it is. I'm just going to call them what they call them in the show. And that, which turns out to be, which proves that, yeah, maybe deciding to disguise yourself as one of the most wanted people in the world isn't a great idea. So they end up managing to take them out and the other pirates. Luffy, who had kind of gotten mixed up in the whole thing, is there, but he turns into One Punch Man and beats one of the opponents with one punch. And then Lee, and then manages to get with the others. They have to get out of there because there's all those enemies. With the help of some allies, they do manage to make it out. They get into the ship and then they go underwater, because ships can do that apparently, to get to Fishman Island.
Yeah, why are they going to Fishman Island again?
If I remember correctly, because the reason they're going to all these places is that they have some special compass. I can't remember the specifics about it, but it basically is supposed to lead them to One Piece, but it only does it by, you know, going from place to place. Like, it'll point to one place and you go there and then you recalibrate and it'll point to another place and you go there and you keep doing that until you get to the end. Kind of a convenient way to get them to different places to have adventures. So I think what it's doing here is telling them that they need to go into like the underwater city or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I'm not 100% sure, but that fits with what I remember the show. Like, that's why they ended up in Skypiea, that sort of floating place in the sky, because the compass points upward, so they have to go there. That was a while ago. That was before you started watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's One Piece.
Yeah, and again, One Piece continues to be a very solid show. I don't have any problems with it. It's always got something interesting and pulls off these funny things pretty well. So, like, the whole thing about fake Straw Hats while the real Straw Hat... Oh, sorry about that. S- Sorry about that. I clicked
about
on
what?
Something. Did you hear that? Or?
I don't think so.
Okay, sorry. I clicked on something and some sound came out. Anyway, yeah, One Piece, good again.
Yeah, only, it is pretty fun. The only issue I think is I do think the pacing is a little slow. You can kind of, in the anime, it's actually a good thing they're airing two episodes because of that. Because it is a matter of, well, you gotta kind of stretch stuff for not to not catch up with the manga, and they're not doing filler apparently. But we're still at a point where it's, you know, it's not that big of a problem, and it works okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was all of our Toonami shows. So we move on to Bobobo episode 8. So Bobobo ends up against Soften, a guy with the ice cream headed guy, who, despite fighting Bobobo, does give Beauty the antidote for the hair loss beam. So Bobobo fights him. Soften is able to put up a pretty good fight with the power of Goddess Blabs-a-Lot, which was Babylon in the original thing, but Blabs-a-Lot is so much funnier, I'm fine with it. Bobobo beats him by pulling out Bobobo World, which is just this world where everything is crazy, and if you don't act equally crazy, you get hurt. So he's able to win, and then they move on to fight the the leader of the base.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, this wasn't my favorite episode, but I don't have any problems with it.
Yeah, it's a thing in which there were a few bit decent jokes. I think a few bits kind of went on a bit long. I think we're getting to the part soon to the part where I remember I really, really started liking the show. So that's coming up soon-ish. So we'll see if my memories match up to when I originally watched it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. After that, we've got Ascendance of a Bookworm, episode 6. So they mine and what's his name again? The other kid, the boy she's always hanging out with.
I'm blanking on the name.
They meet up with the merchant guy because he wanted to become a traveling merchant, and they tell him, "No, that's a bad idea. That's that the only real reason people become traveling merchants is to try to, like, get back a citizenship. So he could just be a regular merchant instead." So he and mine kind of decide, because they have to find something to sell, and you're like, well, you know, we'll make paper or something like that. And they decide, okay, we're going to work together to try to get the stuff, paper made. But then they have to make the stuff to make the paper, and then get the stuff they need to make the stuff to make the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So mine goes on basically a mini trading side quest by managing to exchange the shampoo for nails to do it. Then we find out that because the illnesses she seems to be having might be the devouring. Yeah, that's a name, all right. Which, if that's the case, would probably kill her soon. Gasp!
Yeah, one of the problems I've had with this show is that, okay, she was reborn to this family, but she doesn't really feel any connection to her family. Like, you know, she has a mother, father, and sister, but, like, kind of treats them like they aren't really related to her. And I think it's kind of weird, you know? Like, I mean, I know we had Tanya the Evil do something similar, but Tanya the Evil, the character, never feels any connection to a family or anything. And The problem here is like her family is such a big part of the show, yet she's kind of emotionally detached from them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see that. And unlike Tanya, mine isn't a complete sociopath, so.
Is that show going to ever get a second season?
I thought they had a second season announced. Let me double check. I know I thought they had something announced for it. Let me just check. A second season has been announced. But who knows how long it'll take. It took Remember how long Bleach's final season was from when they announced it to actually, airing it later this year? I
Yeah.
think that was like 2 years. So yeah, there's that. You got kind of a point there. It was a little unclear how it worked with memories, because what seemed to happen was that she just suddenly found herself in the body of this girl when she who's I can't remember. She's like 5 or 6 or something. And because of, but then she retained that girl's memories. So it's not entirely clear at that point whether it meant that hurts, like whether this was just some other girl and I guess she took possession of her body, which brings up a lot of thorny existential questions, or if she was that girl and she just suddenly got all her memories back at this point, which is what a bunch of series in these sort of isekai things often do. They only have them get the memory back after they're a little older, so you don't bring up the question of, well, wait, why don't they talk when they're like babies or whatever?
Yeah.
Which was actually, there's this the person who wrote Kaguya-sama, they're still making that, but they are writing another series also called Oshi-no-Ko, and the plot is that this guy is it's basically a real world isekai in which these two people like get killed, and then they just kind of then they're sort of reborn as babies to these per this person knows. I won't go through everything, but with all their memories intact and apparently the ability to talk, so they have to just pretend to be, babies and such. And there's just this part where, when they're like, I don't know, 4 or something, one's like, I'm glad we can talk now without be to people without have making them suspicious. So yeah, that was it was an interesting series from what I read in the manga, but it was kind of weird. Anyway, back to this one. Yeah. What's weird is, so at this episode, I was starting to think, okay, I think I got what this show is. It's just, I to enjoy it right, I need to understand what it is. It reminds me of Pop Team Epic, which I did not like at all when I watched it initially. And then I went back and watched the first episode again. I was like, no, I actually kind of like this now that I actually know what I'm getting into. If I need to, you need to understand this is going to be a show that half of the jokes are the joke is that there is no joke. So if you know that, I could enjoy it more. But here I'm thinking, okay, I got it. Look, it's just slice of life, Dr. Stone. And that's fine. But then we suddenly get, oh, it could be a fatal illness. And we also bring up the what I'm still wondering when we'll get to all the magic stuff that it teased in the first episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's this episode. Yeah, anything else to say?
No, it I guess this week's episode wasn't as good as most have been this season, but I guess if you do lower your expectations, I guess maybe you can enjoy it more, you know?
Yeah, I am just interested. I don't know, it seems to be maybe the problem that just so many light novel adaptations have, where you've got something and it's a book, and yet it's now suddenly in a serialized format. Maybe it might be better if they kind of, I don't know, went through some stuff more quickly. But then again, I that if I there's a bunch of series, especially like this season, that are based on light novels. And the complaint everyone says is they went through stuff too quickly. Nothing makes sense because you didn't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then we'll move on to Fates Day Night Unlimited Blade Works episode. Is this... it says 5, but I'm not... yes, this is episode 5. Sorry. So, in this episode, what happens is Shiro finds out that one of the girls, I can't remember which one, I can't remember most of the characters yet, but has gone missing, and there's some sort of weird thing going on where everyone kind of gets sent back. Oh, and Shiro's gone to school without Saber, because he's like, well, you know, no, there's people around. That, so natural, so there, which actually does lead to a funny bit where Rin confronts him, and he's like saying, oh, and like, because she wants to attack him or something. And he's like, what are you talking about? The school is safe because there's not people around. She's like, where is anyone? And he looks around and realizes that no one's there. So she tries to blast him and he runs away. Then that whole thing ends up getting kind of interrupted because he finds the person who is missing and I guess decides not to to just stop at that point, because Shiro ends up getting, when he's ends up being attacked by the person in to the, he, so he follows the culprit into the woods. It turns out to be Ryder, not the Ryder we knew before. This is a different Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Who basically captures him and is about to kill him when Rin decides, well, I guess I'm a tsundere, so I guess now I'm flipping to the part where I'm helpful to him, and go and drives her off. I'm not sure why Rin didn't use Archer and just did it herself, but whatever, that happens. They decide to have a truce to try to figure out who Ryder was and all that, who that stuff, and yeah, that's based, and that is the episode essentially.
And this begs the question of why was Tosaka telling Shiro to stay still so she could kill him? Like, would anyone stay still just so they can get killed? It's like, You're really inconveniencing me here by not wanting to get murdered. So would you please stay still? That way I can murder you, and then that way you're dead, and I'm not inconvenienced anymore. You know, I mean, I couldn't understand why Tosaka was actually getting upset that he was moving. It's like, of course he's going to defend himself, even if that part was really weird. I couldn't figure it out. I think the point of it is to try to build up the tsundere relationship between Shiro and Tosaka, but that didn't make much sense. I'm sorry. It was really confusing. But despite that, I actually really enjoyed the episode. So there you have it.
Yeah, it was enjoyable, but there were some things that just didn't make that much sense to me. It's like he chases after Ryder without, you know, calling Saber or anything like he said he would. And even when he's about to be, like, basically killed by Ryder, he still doesn't when he's in danger. Although I actually did look a little bit on some things in the visual novel, which I'll get to in a moment. Apparently at this point when he's captured by Ryder, you're given the choice to try to activate the crest or not to summon Saber. If you try to, you would get the bad ending because Ryder notices it and just slices off his arm to stop him. So I guess he actually was a good thing he didn't. There's that. I don't think Rin attacking him makes that much sense still, but yeah. Yeah, I actually did have some things to say because I was in because I was looking into some stuff about the light novel and the original anime because I've been like looking at like synopses of the original anime. I haven't seen it because I was just trying to see, okay, when do we diverge from it? And I keep seeing the same stuff being described. So I looked into it. This whole thing where she attacks him was in the original anime. Turns out this wasn't actually in the Saber route of the game. It was just something from this route that they added into that in the original anime because they put in some stuff from the other routes. Because the game had three routes that did this. Because originally in that one, Rin suggests a truce to Shiro right after they fight Ilya. But in this, but in Rin's route, this one, it plays out like the way we just saw it.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing I did find interesting because I was looking through some of the stuff in the game. So if you in this part in the game, because Rin says she's trying to kill him, but if you go by the game, it indicates she wasn't because if she hits you with the thing that she's throwing, it doesn't kill him. It just immobilizes him, and she does something. And she like it says at least what I read. She like it says that she grabs his neck, and then he wakes up the next day with no memory of anything about the Holy Grail War or Saber or anything. So I guess if we're supposed to consider that to be like the sort of canon, like possibility. Obviously, that didn't happen here because that's a bad ending. But that indicates that for her bluster, she wasn't actually trying to kill him.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, maybe that's something that the anime could have mentioned more specifically, but I don't guess that the reason the game had that as a bad ending was to clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It does look like we're going to be actually starting on the divergences more from the original anime and the like Saber route of the game. I did find out actually what the divergent point starts, actually, I'll just say this quick. Remember when Saber, like when Lancer decides to run from Saber and then she senses Archer and Rin and goes to attack them?
I think so.
Yeah, well, that's where the routes split off, technically. Because in the original anime, Saber attacks Archer, wounds him heavily, forcing Rin to dematerialize him. And then when Saber's about to kill her, Shiro stops her. In this route, Shiro stops Saber before she does any damage to Archer. So, minor change, but apparently that's supposed to be the thing that sets off the difference between them, even if for a while it still plays out for the most part the same. You know, Ilya attacks, they fight her, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's all that stuff. So, yeah, we'll see where things go next time. Despite, you know, some problems, like why doesn't Rin use Archer? The fact Shiro manages to get through everything. I saw someone make the crack. Wow, Shiro's got the strongest plot armor in the series. But I guess that's his special power. But, yeah, that's Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works. Okay. Obligatory top threes again.
Yep. I had mine right here. Let's bring that out. Okay, so third place I have One Piece. Second place, surprisingly enough, is Assassination Classroom. And then first place, even though I have problems with it, still Fate Stay Night for the fifth time in 6 weeks.
What? Could you repeat those for me quick?
Yeah, One Piece in third, Assassination Classroom in second, and Fate Stay Night in first.
Okay, I wanted to ask you to repeat it to confirm, because those are, that's mine.
Yeah, no intention of trying to copy you here. I just, that was how I saw it this week.
Okay. So. All right. So we've still got a little bit of time left, so I'm just going to talk quickly. So I decided for this season of anime that I would check out at least one episode of each series, each new series, with the goal of, well, I've mentioned it before, watching them with Spanish subtitles. Maybe it'll help me with my Spanish. So that was the goal, basically, there. So I only, now I only did this for the series on Crunchyroll and Funimation. I didn't do it for the ones that were High Dive exclusive. I considered signing up for it to watch them, but it looks like they don't have Spanish subtitles. I'm like, well, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll be going through them. I might not get through all of them, but I'll at least start and give my thoughts on some of these. Basically, the way I kind of did it was, I didn't really go into it with too much of a plan on how to decide when I would, how long I would watch each show. I ended up kind of doing something based on, you know, like each, if all the shows had aired on a particular date, I would drop one like each week, or sometimes I would drop more than one or less than one. If I ever do this again, I'll probably just make a March Madness bracket.
That would be pretty cool.
All right. So I'll go through them. These are about the order that they sort of started airing. So there was Orient, which is the basically the Shonen Battle series for this season. It's about this alternate timeline in which Japan had, I don't know what point in Japanese history, they all kind of blur together for me, but it got taken over by these like Oni or whatever, but the Bushi, or samurai as the manga translated it, are still fighting against them, and the main character wants to become one so he can fight them. And I didn't really like it that much, even though I did stick with it for three episodes. So a lot of it is just kind of cliche shonen stuff, but what really cemented my decision to drop it was I really don't like the main character at all. So, like, it was the third episode that cemented my dislike for him. So I want to go through this a bit. Now, so he's like, I want to fight the monsters and become a Bushi and all this stuff. Anyway, and he ends up, like, fighting one, but it's got regeneration powers. And fortunately for him, a bunch of, like, experienced guys show up and are going to take care of it. And he wants, but he's like, no, I want to do it. This is my first step forward, blah, blah, this stuff. And, you know, they're like, no, we can deal with this, and actually kind of tie him up to do it. And then he's like, no, I need to do it. So he's like, you know, breaks free of that and runs towards it to try to hit it while they're preparing this giant laser thing to get rid of it. And, you know, finally one, you know, does stop him and beats the thing. And so, see, I just am not liking this guy, because he's like, I have to fight this thing even though there's no reason, because it's my first step on this path to becoming a Bushi or whatever. And it's just very annoying, because you're just thinking, look, I know this is a shonen, and the whole I must fight even if it's a hopeless, that's kind of a standard trope in it.
Yeah,
but it's different when you have people who are stronger than you, that are better equipped to deal with this stuff, and that you could be getting in the way of. And throughout this whole thing, I just keep thinking, okay, so, like, the point of this is that he learns a lesson about how he's being stupid. Well, no, because once he gets over, he's still complaining about it and accusing the guy of being a kill stealer. And I'm like, this isn't a video game. This is real life. Ah. I just disliked him so much. In some ways, he was kind of like Asta, but at the same time, you look at it and you're like, okay, Asta can be annoying sometimes, but I can't see him ever doing this sort of thing. Like, he wants to actually beat the enemy, but, you know, he doesn't insist he has to be the one to do it, so...
Yeah, I've kind of heard that, like, World War II kind of turned out the way it did because of that. Like, the Japanese people just, like, couldn't... It wasn't in their nature to capitulate, so it took two atomic bombs for them to finally decide that they were going to surrender, you know?
Yeah.
And that,
there,
so.
There was also the fact, though, that if I remember correctly, the United States wanted unconditional surrender. They didn't want to, like, negotiate anything. And some people say that if the United States had said, okay, you surrender with the condition of being able to keep your emperor, which ended up happening anyway. So if they had offered terms like that, it might have been able to end the war faster. But I don't know all the specifics about every thing. So, yeah, that was like the Shonen battle series that, for this one that I didn't particularly care for. The next one is In the Land of Leodale, which is an isekai series about someone who was like some sort of invalid in a hospital, like he couldn't, who like basically spent all their time playing this online game, and then there's some power outage somehow, and then they find themselves, they're in the world of the game. It's real now. Have never seen that one before. To be fair, In the Land of Leodale, the original, so it started out as a series, as a web novel, and then it ran in 2010 to 2012. So this actually predates, like, most of the isekai series you know. Mm-hmm. So you gotta give it some credit for originality there. And then, but it's had the effect, meanwhile, that it's gone by 200 years. And, it's kind of hard to really describe much of the plot because there isn't really too much of one other than her trying to see if she can find other players. And, she's also super overpowered because she's got, like, the player skills. It's weird because in so many ways it really is cliche, even a bunch of cliches, even if it is, you know, kind of the originator maybe of some of them. But at the same time, it's just kind of fun. It feels kind of like Black Clover in the way it's just, yeah, it's really cliche and stuff, but there's just an energy to it that makes it work.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's some kind of funny stuff in there. So far, I'm enjoying it, and I'm going to be at least sticking with it to see what happens. We've got Tokyo 24th Ward, its first episode was a double-length episode that could have had everything relevant happening half the time. Its second episode didn't really continue anything particularly interesting. The interesting stuff that was in that first episode is kind of not continued, so I'm like, okay, never mind. Policing a Pod looked like kind of like more of a bit of a comedy about these two female police officers. It was okay, but that was one that I only... that I decided to quit after one episode because it's a matter of, well, this could be decent, but it's probably not really the kind of show I'm that interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's those. After that, do you want me to keep going, or do you want us to kind of stop here?
We can stop here and we'll pick it up next time.
Okay, so that's the shows that I've mentioned. So far, those series, yeah, it looked based. I will mention one thing that I was interested in, at least on Crunchyroll's stuff. Funimation doesn't like list anything by popularity, but I was looking at Crunchyroll's, and yeah, In the Land of Leodale looks like it's the most popular new series, like by considerable amount on their site. It being in like. Fifth place, which is notable because of the fact that, you know, the stuff that's above it is, you know, the stuff that's already popular. You got your I'm just going to glance at these. Yep, you got Demon Slayer, Attack on Titan, One Piece, Ranking of Kings, and then you get Land of Leodale.
Mm-hmm.
So it might of course be the fact that they're promoting it heavily, so we'll get to the rest of the series after that. So of those right now, the one that I'm still following is In the Land of Leodale.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be that. I was hoping to get through more, but it ended up talking longer than I expected on some of those. Mostly to complain about Orient. I will be fair, I have seen some people say that the manga does improve later on, so maybe I'll check back on it later. But for now, yeah, it's a drop. Okay. Anything else to say?
No, that's about it.
Okay, we'll see you all next time then.
Bye.